All right, say it with me today. God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
And all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All right, I just want to briefly recap last week's message. We talked last week on the God of another chance. And basically, we were talking about the subject of forgiveness. Forgiving yourself for wrongs that you may have committed against somebody else. And friend, you may have betrayed somebody. Maybe you lied about somebody. Maybe you deceived somebody. Maybe you physically, emotionally, or verbally abused somebody in the past. And now you see the consequences of it. And it's so hard to forgive yourself of the wrong you've committed. But friend, I'm here to tell you today that you need to forgive yourself of any wrongs you've committed in the past. You know, release yourself from keeping a record of wrongs against yourself. You've got to release yourself from regrets. I would have, I could have, I should have. We have to do away with that type of thinking. Amen?
Amen.
With regrets. And release yourself from self-inflicted punishment. Stop beating up on yourself concerning things you did in the past against somebody else. Because think about it. God in Christ forgave you and me of our sins. If He forgave us, that means we could forgive ourselves. And we studied the prodigal son. How many know the parable of the prodigal son? Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. You know, this son basically said to his dad, "Dad, give me my inheritance before you die." He was telling his dad in so many words, "Dad, I wish you were dead." So his dad gave him the inheritance. He went, he squandered that wealth. He ended up in the pig's pen. But he went back to his dad. And when his dad saw him coming back, his dad ran to him. He put his arms around him and he kissed him. And this young son, who was a prodigal son, sensed the father's forgiveness. The father was basically telling him, "Son, I am giving you a second chance at relationship with me." And because he sensed his father's forgiveness, it melted his heart and he was able to forgive himself of the wrongs he committed against his earthly dad. And he gave himself a second shot at relationship with his dad. And in that parable, the earthly dad represents our heavenly father. If God has forgiven us of so much and he is the standard setter, that means we need to forgive ourselves. Amen? All right, today I want to talk about yet another angle of God's love for you and me. It's called the God who really cares. The God who really cares. Friend, you may be in a tough situation today in some area of your life. You might be thinking today, "Does anybody care about me? Is there a God out there who cares about me? Is there a God out there that even knows that I exist?" And friend, I'm here to tell you today, yes, there is a God out there, Yahweh, creator of heaven and earth. He does exist. You look at the beauty of nature, the trees turning different colors this fall. You look at the grass, you look at the blue sky, you look at the sun, you look at the complexity of the human body. And you've got to know that there is a greater cause behind this, and that greater cause is God, the creator. He does exist, friend. Don't let anyone or anything tell you that God does not exist. He is out there, and He cares about every detail of your life. And He knows that you exist in this room here today. Not only does He know that you exist, He knows about every little thing that concerns you. He knows about every worry in your mind. He knows about every problem in your life, and He cares for you. He wants to meet you at the point of your need. I want to read to you the Father's love letter. You can find this on the internet if you ever do internet research. It's called thefathersloveletter.com. Anybody ever hear of the Father's love letter? All right. Just listen to it. Just kind of meditate on this. It's an intimate message from God to you. There's a video version, but I wasn't able to do that. So here's the written version. "My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you." Psalm 139:1. "I know when you sit down and when you rise up." Psalm 139:2. "I'm familiar with all of your ways." Psalm 139:3. "Even the very hairs on your head are numbered." Matthew 10:29-31. "For you were made in my image." Genesis 1:27. "In me you live and move and have your being." Acts 17:28. "For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived." Jeremiah 1:4-5. "I chose you when I planned creation." Ephesians 1:11-12. "You are not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book." Psalm 139, 15 through 16. I determine the exact time of your birth and where you would live. Acts 17:26. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm just going to go on without the scriptures here. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I'm not distant and angry, but the complete expression of love. And it's my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than any earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every gift that you receive, good gift, comes from my hands, for I am your provider and I meet all of your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus, for in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He's the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I've always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. You know, if this letter doesn't tell us that God cares about us, I don't know what does. That's awesome, isn't it? That God knows everything about you. It's called the fathersloveletter.com. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that God cares about every detail of your life. He cares about the large things that concern you, such as a life-threatening illness. You may have been diagnosed with something like that, and God knows about it. Let's turn to Psalm 139:1. It says this. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. In other words, you know everything about me. Verse 2. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. What's the big thing in your life, the big concern that is bothering you today? Friend, the good news is that God knows about it. He's thinking about you. He's able to take care of it for you. Do you agree with that today? He's a big God. He knows everything about your life. Got an email here that I received some time back called Caller ID. It's really good. Listen to this. Isn't it amazing how God works in our lives? On a Saturday night several weeks ago, this pastor was working late and decided to call his wife before he left for home. It was about 10 p.m., but his wife didn't answer the phone. The pastor let the phone ring many times. He thought it was odd that she didn't answer, but decided to wrap up a few things and try again in a few minutes. When he tried again, she answered right away. He asked her why she hadn't answered before, and she said that it had not rung in their house. They brushed it off as a fluke and went on their merry ways. The following Monday, the pastor received a call at the church office, which was a phone that he had used that Saturday night. The man that he spoke with wanted to know why he had called on Saturday night. The pastor couldn't figure out what the man was talking about. Then the man said, "It rang and rang, but I did not answer." The pastor remembered the mishap and apologized for disturbing him, explaining that he had intended to call his wife. So you get the picture here, right? Okay, the man said, "That's okay, let me tell you my story. You see, I was planning to commit suicide on Saturday night. But before I did, I prayed, 'God, if you're there and you don't want me to do this, give me a sign now.' At that point, my phone started to ring. I looked at the caller ID and it said, 'Almighty God.' I was afraid to answer. The reason why it showed on the man's caller ID that the call came from Almighty God is because the church that the pastor attends is called Almighty God Tabernacle. Is that a miracle of how much God is thinking about us? This man was facing a big issue in his life. He was about to commit suicide. And God was thinking about him. God let his phone ring. And he saw Almighty God. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that God, just as well, is thinking about you. Almighty God has you on his mind 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So yes, God is concerned about the big things that concern you. He's also concerned about the small things that concern you. Maybe it's $5 for your next meal. Maybe your next mode of transportation. Maybe you're needing a $2 bus fare. Guess what? God knows about it. It says in Matthew 10:30, Jesus said he has every hair on your head numbered. That includes our mustaches and beards, right? All of our hairs are numbered. God knows every detail of your life. Let's turn to Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6:25. Talking about how God knows the little things that concern your life. So don't worry about it. When you're there, lift up your head. I'll know that you got there. 25. All right. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. In other words, these birds have no concern. They know that their food is coming. Are you not much more valuable than they? Say it with me today. I'm so much better than any bird out there. Verse 27. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Think about that. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that worry, which is constant thought over and over and over and over about the problem in your life, is an ineffective use of your mental energy. It's an unproductive use of your mind. He says it. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Stop worrying. It'll do you no good. And I've heard it said that most of the things, about 90% I think is the percent, about 90% of the things that we worry about never come to pass. Then he says in verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Could you imagine that, friend? God gives clothing to the lilies of the field, to the flowers out there. That's awesome, isn't it? God is concerned about the little lilies out there. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? In other words, Jesus is saying, if God is concerned, so concerned about the lilies and the tulips and the flowers and the trees, you better believe that he is so much more concerned about you, a living being with a soul and a spirit that will live on one day forever. So don't worry saying, verse 31, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. What is he saying in verse 32? Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear, because your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. In other words, God knows what's going on in your life. Food, drink, clothing, the little issues of life. God knows about it. God's concerned about it. God cares for you, and God will take care of it. But seek first, verse 33, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What is he saying in verse 33? But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. He's saying, seek first the advancement of God's kingdom. Seek first practicing the walk of righteousness. And all of these things that you need in life will be given to you. Let's put it in plainer terms. If you look after God's business, advancing his kingdom, living a righteous life, God will look after the business details of your life. If you look after God's business and take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. What is one of the ways that we can advance the kingdom of God? In Matthew 6:33. What is one of the ways that we can advance the kingdom of God? Good. We can be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody in greater need than us. We can go out there and let somebody else know that God is thinking about them, that Jesus loves them. That's taking care of God's business. And if you take care of God's business, letting somebody out there know that God is thinking about them, God will take care of your business and he'll let you know that he's thinking about you. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There was a lady that I knew, and she basically was the hands and the feet of Jesus to me back in 2006. She was advancing God's kingdom. She was taking care of God's business. I was really depressed, late July, August, September of 06. And I was like, God, are you upset with me? Jesus, are you upset with me? God, I know I've sinned against you. Jesus, I know I've sinned against you. And I was doubting God's love for me, the love of Christ for me. And this woman, who I had known, we were at a friend's house, a mutual friend's house. She came up to me one day, probably around September of 06. She just came up to me and said, Jonathan, I just feel that I need to tell you that Jesus loves you. Thinking to myself, wow, that made my day. I mean, I'm out there preaching the gospel, telling people that Jesus loves them. But this lady was sensitive to the Spirit of God, and in the middle of my depression, she was advancing God's kingdom. She was taking care of God's business. A few simple words, Jesus loves you, Jonathan. I was like, wow. God, I am on your mind. God, you are thinking about me. The things that concern me, God, are concerning you. God, you are such a good God. She was the hands and the feet of Jesus to me. And you also can be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody else. Take care of God's business. Let somebody know how much God is thinking about them, and God will let you know how much he's thinking about you. What is God looking for? All God is looking for is what? What is it?
A willing heart.
Okay, it's found in Matthew 6, verse 30. Faith. And it's awesome that faith could be demonstrated by a simple prayer. Just a simple prayer to God. Showing God that you believe that he can take care of your situation. We do this big outreach at the Day Center on the third Sunday of every month. And on September 20th, last month, we did the outreach. And we brought Bibles like we brought today. And we handed out the Bibles. And this lady testified. It was a small spiritual need. She had need of a Bible. She said, but listen to this guy. She said, yesterday I prayed to God, God, I need a Bible. And she said, here's my brand new Bible today, one day later on Sunday afternoon. Isn't that awesome? God was thinking about her. She had faith that God could provide that Bible. And within a day, God did. If God could do it for her, guess what? He can do it for who? He can do it for you. What is faith? Faith is simple trust and reliance that God cares and will meet all of your needs. Faith throws the wet blanket on the fires of worry and concern. Should I say it again? Faith throws the wet blanket on the fires of worry and concern. And the good news is this, is that God honors faith. When you present your concern to God, God will show you that he is going to take care of you, that he's thinking about you. 1 Peter 5:7.
One final scripture, 1 Peter 5:7. That's what he writes. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God honors faith. When you present your concern to God, God will show you in his unique way that he's thinking about you, that he cares for you. One final illustration here. It's called a grocery list. Special grocery list. Louise Redden, a poorly dressed lady with a look of defeat on her face, walked into a grocery store. She approached the owner of the store in most humble manner and asked if he would let her charge a few groceries. She softly explained that her husband was very ill and unable to work. They had 7 children and they needed food. John Longhouse, the grocer, scoffed at her and requested that she leave his store at once. That's just like the devil, right? Visualizing the family needs, she said, "Please, sir, I will bring you the money just as soon as I can." John told her he could not give her credit since she did not have a charge account at his store. Standing beside the counter was a customer who overheard the conversation between the two. The customer walked forward and told the grocer that he would stand good for whatever she needed for her family. The grocer said in a very reluctant voice, "Do you have a grocery list, Louise?" Louise replied, "Yes, sir." "Okay," he said. "Put your grocery list on the scales, and whatever your grocery list weighs, I will give you that amount in groceries." He was pretty much being sarcastic, right? So Louise hesitated a moment with a bowed head. Then she reached into her purse, took out a piece of paper, and scribbled something on it. She then laid the piece of paper on the scale carefully with her head still bowed. The eyes of the grocer and the customer showed amazement when the scales went down and stayed down. The grocer, staring at the scales, turned slowly to the customer and said begrudgingly, "I can't believe it." The customer smiled and the grocer started putting the groceries on the other side of the scales. The scale did not balance, so he continued to put more and more groceries on them until the scales would hold no more. The grocer stood there in utter disgust. Finally, he grabbed the piece of paper from the scales and looked at it with greater amazement. It was not a grocery list. It was a prayer which said, "Dear Lord, you know my needs, and I am leaving this in your hands." Isn't that awesome? It's a story, probably a hypothetical story, but it illustrates the point. The grocer gave her the groceries that he had gathered and stood in stunned silence. Louise thanked him and left the store. The other customer handed a $50 bill to the grocer and said, "It was worth every penny of it. Only God knows how much a prayer weighs."
Awesome.
Awesome. Only God knows how much a prayer weighs. The prayer of faith. That's all God is looking for, friend, is faith. That you know that he is thinking about you. And that he will take care of your every need. He honors faith. Just present your request to God like Louise did with the grocery list. And God, in his own special way, will show you that he is thinking about you and that he wants to meet your need. Amen?
Amen.
You are always on God's mind, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Say it with me. I am always on the mind of God. All God is looking for
is faith,
reliance, and trust in him.
All I've got to do
is present my need. Large or small, to God, he will take care of it. Amen. Kevin here has a brief personal story of how he knew that God was thinking about him. So Kevin, come on up.
In Albuquerque, New Mexico, I and my family were evangelizing through the area. Through certain events, our car breaking down a couple of times, we found ourselves trapped for cash, not really able to continue the evangelistic work. We ended up in a hotel and staying and living out of our car. Anybody can relate to living out of a car?
Amen.
That's good. Amen. All right. So this is what happens. I'm in here feeling sorry for myself. I'm probably in the worst place in Albuquerque you could ever possibly live, in this beaten down old hotel. I got my kids. I'm going, "Lord, do you not care? Do you not care what happens to us?" He did not answer me. But he finally, after some time of prayer, he did answer me. He said, "I spent time and trouble teaching you faith, now live by it."
Wow.
Tonight, that night I had a meeting. I went to the meeting knowing that at the end of that meeting, if something didn't happen, I was going to pack my car and take what money I had left, and maybe I'd make it to the border of Oklahoma. Maybe. I went to the meeting, nothing happened. I went to the service, nothing happened. I preached the word. Towards the end of the meeting, a little old lady came walking up. She came to me, she took me by the shorts, and she said, "Tonight, you and your family are going to come and live with me in a $1.5 million home." Now, I'm only saying this because
it's awesome.
I dared to live by faith, but I was also obedient. Learn to obey the word. Learn to obey your Father, and He will care for you. He will meet you at your need. Amen.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? God knew exactly what was going on in Kevin's life, and He knows what's going on in your life. Amen. Brett, you want to come up? Come on. I think Brett's got a story here about how he knew that God was thinking about him.
Well, God's really done a lot in my life these past 3 years. I've told the story, you know, before, but I was living a life of drugs and, you know, women here and there, and the friends that I did have weren't really my friends. You know, we started, you know, my friends started talking bad about, you know, each other, about me, and I held on to a lot of that. When I was 18, I got 3 felonies, assault and battery on a police officer. I hit a cop. I don't really know why, but I just had like a lot of rage inside of me. And I spent 7 days at David L. Moss, and so I'm thinking, you know, how am I going to get a job? I was really depressed. For a year, I was just depressed. And, you know, as I started getting to church, I started doing street outreach. And as I started seeking God first, He brought, you know, favor into my life. I started working with Jonathan.
Awesome.
And, you know, since then, I was able to get my own business, doing lawns. So God is just saying, you know, since you seek me, I'm going to bless you, give you favor. And God's good, you know.
Amen. That's awesome. So in the natural, Brett shouldn't have gotten a job, right? But God knew what was going on in Brett's life, right? He was seeking God, and God blessed him. He met him at the point of his need. If He did it for Brett, friends, He can do it for you. He can meet you at the point of your need. All He wants is trust and obedience. Amen? Amen.